This is Sunday Skate on Sports Radio WEEI.
The first time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup.
Talking Bruins and the NHL.
Sure, old-time hockey.
Like it is sure.
Yeah.
With Ken Laird from the Mutt and Callahan Show.
What a bunch of criminals. We ought to be in jail. That's all there is to it.
WEEI.com Bruins writer Matt Kalman.
He's the killer.
Sunday Skate is brought to you by Wise Snacks and by Star Market, the official supermarket of the Boston Bruins.
Beast is great, you know, we got a lot of losses.
Lace them up for some Beast Talk right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Emergency edition of the Sunday Skate podcast, as they say in the Barstool sports world.
Is that what they say?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Well, it's a Portland thing, right? Emergency podcast.
Okay.
You are Matt Stradamus. You're also a message sender of many forms. You've got a shirt that says, Keep the Blues Alive. So is that, are you trying to get deep here? With
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Getting ready to go to St. Louis and, you know, just trying to tell everyone to keep the series alive. Exactly. I didn't even think of that. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Well, you are booked, right? We just confirmed from Rod
Bradford,
the WEEI executive. You're headed out to, you're going to miss the actual Sunday Skate.
Yeah, that's why I had to come in and do an emergency podcast, because you never know, this might be my last act speaking on any WEEI platforms for a while. So
it's June. June the 7th, as we sit here this morning, day after the non-call, the Bozak call. What's going to go down in history as? What will it be framed as?
Tripgate?
The Achari embellish, if you ask Jerry Callahan.
Right. Jerry Callahan and some dude on ESPN who I don't think knows a hockey puck from a baseball.
Not Buccigross.
No, not Buccigross. Some other guy. One of the guys on the morning shows that they yell at each other all day. I have no idea.
What fun. Get Up?
One of those. I don't know. Get It Up?
Jerry and Greeny are saying Achari embellished. Let me read Jerry's latest tweet. Never said Achari should have been called for embellishment. I said that had to be what Kelly Sutherland was thinking. Do you have a better explanation? Do you agree with Ken Lair that an anti-Boston edict came down from the commissioner? That's in response to you moments ago, minutes ago.
That's what you believe, that there was an anti-Boston edict?
Well, he's exaggerating for effect, but here's what I think. First of all, I think after the San Jose Vegas incident in Game 7, officials across the league are afraid to overreact or overcall it. So they're generally letting things go. And in this series in particular, I believe after Berube spoke in Game 3, that had a definite impact. He worked the officials, and all of a sudden, this became a let him play series, and who does that benefit? That benefits the St. Louis Blues.
If it's let him be,
I believe there's an inherent bias to it's good for the league that St. Louis wins after 49 years.
If it's let him be,
52 years.
If it's let him be, then why did they give in to the Binnington embellishment? Why didn't they let
that be? Well, that's Marchand who supersedes
if Marchand is still living this stuff, I mean, the guy hasn't done anything. This is the saddest part of this series, is that Marchand
Last night he low-bridged Tarasenko.
It was a great hit. It was a great play. He should have done that 3 games ago. I mean, oh my God. He should have done that in game one when they had that matchup and they were getting dominated. Instead of Bruce Cassidy having to change all his matchups and change and shuffle everything, Marchand should have gone out and low-bridged somebody and sent them a message.
No, I mean, you're right about that. If they're going to let stuff go, then the Bruins, particularly when you're playing a St. Louis team whose power play is absolutely mud.
Yeah.
Putrid.
Right.
Cannot score. Even without Chara, I don't think they'd score. So take advantage of it.
Well, that's just it. That's just it. I mean, first of all, we talked about this before about with the Bruins going after the other team's goalies and the other team's going after Tuukka. Take a damn goalie interference penalty if you have to. Get in this guy's grill already. They've made it so easy on him. 38 saves. Did he have to make a tough one the whole night? It was unbelievable. But then, the same, just all around, not pushing back in the scrums. You know, Backes gets hauled down in game 4, and Pasternak got hauled down last night. And now you're not going to start a fight in the Stanley Cup final, but push the guy back. They're not going to get you for retaliating in a scrum at this point. And if they do, then you have more reasons to whine about it.
Sundqvist has Krug in an arm bar before that crazy save, and no response.
Right.
Nothing.
Where's the pay? Where are they to make them pay the price? Right now, they are the 11 Canucks, and the Blues are the 11 Bruins. They're letting them the refs are letting them do these things, and they're just putting up with it. They're turning the other cheek. I don't know what Bruins team this is. And last night, I didn't get to get it in my column, but I did get to formulate my question properly to Tory Krug. Just said, if there's a threshold that we now know is so high, they're letting it go, can you guys push it to that threshold? And he said, that the refs change every game, so maybe it's hard to discern what the threshold is. But next game, they have to discern it quicker and maybe do that.
Yeah. Now, we'll get to Game 6 here coming up, but just to focus back on the Achari Bozak hit, give me your take on it. Do you believe at all in the fixes in? Do you believe at all that Achari
embellished?
I don't
believe in the fixes in. I just believe in the officiating is piss poor and just
so
like
total incompetence.
Just like Cassidy said, it's been everywhere. We've seen it all over the place, right? In every series, and it's just happened that right now it's going against the Bruins.
So I mean, Sutherland was watching but missed it, or Sutherland was watching and just thought, judgment call, I don't think that's egregious.
I think he decided it wasn't egregious. I think he decided it was a battle, and the guy flipped. And because he flipped so hard, he might have thought embellishment, but if you watch it, and I've watched it in real time like 10 times just to see, because I hate these slowdowns of anything, you know, regardless of who it's going against, the slowdowns you can make look like anything. But it's a slew foot. It's a slew foot that almost to the point where if it's in the regular season, they might even review it for extra penalties since Achari had to go into the damn protocol.
Right.
And so how are you going to let that go and think it was just a battle? I mean, he comes from behind on him. It's unbelievable that they would blow that one. But maybe more egregious is the headshot on Johansson. I mean, that's the one that's right there. The guy just took a shot. You're watching him. He clips him. It's just like the Joe Thornton play we saw in their series or earlier in the playoffs. You're trying to get the headshots out of the game, and you're not seeing these ones. And the guy, and again now, they have a hearing with a guy who didn't even get a penalty. The other game, you had a hearing for a guy that got a minor.
Right.
Like, so you're basically, like you said, they're so afraid to overreact that they're letting the Department of Player Safety handle these things, but the suspension doesn't do you any good.
And the only fix in-game would be scoring play goes to review. There's an official in the booth, quote-unquote, a non, you know,
right,
game day official, who could then potentially go back, rewind it, overrule that, right? I mean, I'm talking about down the road.
It doesn't even have to be. How about, well, I guess it's hard to say because it was a non-call. The Achari one is a non-call. But in the NBA where they review for flagrant fouls,
yep,
so maybe you have a way that they would signal down and tell you if it was a minor or a major,
yep,
you know, just to say, okay, whether or not we're going to look at this. They don't have to look at every one. They can look at it in the war room. But then, if it's a non-call, I don't know how you rectify that if you're just going to let everything go. I mean, you almost have to say, in the ref's mind, you have to hope that maybe they're going to give the Bruins one, and maybe the Bruins have to take a shot at somebody.
Now, have you heard Barbashev expected to be suspended one game? That has not come down yet.
It has not come down yet, but I guess we're saying that everybody that's been had a hearing this playoffs has gotten a game, right?
Yeah.
So you have to assume. I mean, That was, like I said, it was this, almost the same as the Joe Thornton thing. It was, you know, clearly like the McAvoy too. So it seems to fit the bill for what they suspend now.
Now, Stephen Walcom, the head of officials,
oh,
put out that statement, but just you know, basically, it's a judgment call. We don't comment
on
those.
That's
classic NHL.
It is, but it's also a sign that, geez, we really look bad, and we need to say something. So even by coming out
and arrogant
and saying we say nothing, they're just at least they're acknowledging that there's a controversy here. I think more often than not, they ignore the controversy, and now they're at least owning it a little bit that they'll come out and respond like that. It's kind of crazy to think that Gary Bettman just, what, a week ago is sitting there talking about the hand pass and how his head almost exploded.
Right.
And you have to wonder if his head finally did explode last night,
if he
cares at all.
He is happy.
He's happy the Blues are going to win.
At least it pushes it to a game 7 in his mind, you know, a good chance for one.
Yeah.
Worst case.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt it benefits. I mean, we've seen it, you know, my childhood growing up in the NBA, it's somehow the best scenario has always played out for the commissioner, and it's been different in hockey. I mean, you can't say that some of the finals matchups have been in the benefit of the league, but maybe now they're starting to take their lead from the NBA.
Were you the pool reporter that talked to Stephen Walker?
I was not the pool reporter.
We don't make comments on judgment calls within games. There are hundreds of judgment calls in every game. The official on the play, he reviewed it, and he did not view it as a penalty at the time.
Oh my God! Well, then what's going to happen? Oh, we're taking this guy off the, you know, if he was, I don't know, probably not scheduled to even play do game
probably
7.
Not.
Maybe it carries over to the regular season. Maybe he sees a suspension. I mean, these things don't help the team in the real time though. This nonsense. I mean, even in the other leagues where they come out and admit that they made mistakes, what good is it to you?
Yeah. Now, most people who watch the game, I think, that are smart hockey fans, would say the Bruins controlled period one, and after that they were in trouble beyond the officiating.
Even when they would control game period one, though, you still had the feeling that they weren't in that higher gear, didn't you?
Well, it was certainly a feeling that either Binnington was becoming a major story again, or they're not taking advantage of their control. The power play was, you know,
yeah, atrocious.
Early in the series, a significant advantage. It is no longer that. So I mean, St. Louis has corrected something in a major way there.
You've rimmed it, you've reduced DeBrusk basically to a fourth liner at this point. He scored finally playing on the fourth line, right? Why is he still on the first power play? Marcus Johansson is your best forward. He's your hottest forward, and he's a entry machine on the power play. You tried that earlier in the playoffs. It worked to maybe mixed results. How are you?
Marshmallow soft.
Yeah, Marshmallow soft. Yeah, exactly. Now he's the best player. And so why is Jake DeBrusk, if you're demoting him, why is he still getting major power play minutes? The coach, I mean, honestly, this is my calm today. We can preview it a little bit. The coach is baffling me, and I think he panicked. And it bothers me two ways. Way that one was the shuffling of the lines.
Yep.
The nonstop shuffling of the lines last night. Even going back to the dressing the 7D, I'm still not on board for that 100%. Especially,
by the way, yours truly called that the morning after.
You sure did.
Now, to your point, though, Cassidy has not done that this year. I don't know if he's ever done it in his Bruins tenure. Maybe going back.
I looked it up twice last year in November.
So is he too unfamiliar for him, and he got in trouble? Like, you know what I mean? Like he actually got into the throes and he was overwhelmed.
I don't know. The 7D, 11 forwards thing, like, empowered him to do what he loves. We've seen him mix and match the lines at weird times during the season sometimes, and most of the times it worked. I mean, give him credit for that. But this was, you know, Jake DeBrusk, Sean Corrali, and, I don't know, Marchand or Johan. Like, there was a line. Like, that. These guys even know each other, let alone have they ever played together.
Right.
And it's a Stanley Cup final game. And so I think...
Well, for a while, I thought Pastrnak on the Krejci line was working. As that line was looking.
If you're going to have 11 forwards, then, yeah, you have to spot Johansson and Pastrnak and maybe even Nordstrom in that spot, obviously. But you can also treat that line like a fourth line and not play it. Krejci ended up over 20 minutes, and he's not playing that great.
Yeah.
Marcus Johansson only had 13 minutes and change of 5-on-5 ice time when he's your best forward. Charlie Coyle, you know, yeah, you want to move him up to wing and get him more ice time, but double shift him. Don't just cut back, don't just shorten your bench and play him on the wing with Bergeron and Marchand, who, by the way, aren't playing that great. So it's almost like the two of them are going to drag Charlie Coyle down.
Now, Marchand had the best chance of period one, put one off the post.
Yep.
Pastrnak fed him from the corner.
Yeah, he obviously came out intent on shooting as opposed to what he did the game before that.
Yep. And then they called the pitchfork penalty on him, which is, as you described, was just unbelievable. And Eddie Olczyk described it that way on the telecast. You weren't there. You know, you're watching the game live, but it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, reading the quotes from NBC was pretty funny. It wasn't just Milbury. It was Olczyk and even Doc Emmerich weighing
Nobody
in.
Nobody said anything. It was just like silence. Calls. It was like, oh, yeah, that's the old pitchfork. Okay, yeah. didn't touch him, but, you know, fine. But, you know, that kills momentum. And I don't know if that carried over to period two, but, you know, that first shift. Tarasenko's loose behind the D, and then O'Reilly continues to be hot. I said before on our podcast before the series started, Ryan O'Reilly will determine this series.
Yeah.
And I was looking pretty bad through four games, but he has come to life.
Well, yeah, he determined it because it was only, you know, 2-1, and they were down 2-1, and then he decided to start playing. And
Darren Pang, I was going to say that. Panger said they got to get this guy possession players, and they found one with Sanford.
Well, exactly. And how did this happen? That's why, you know, be careful what you wish for with Barbashev getting suspended, because if Sanford probably doesn't get in the lineup, if Sundqvist doesn't get suspended. Then he had that great game, and, you know, I said that on Sunday Skate, that he should probably play that guy more. Next thing you know, he's on the second line.
Yeah, because Blay was up there. They bumped him down to line three, and who's been out there?
Fabry's out,
So Fabry goes back in.
Because Thomas has been out since the beginning. It's been a trickle-down effect.
Right, the great Rob Thomas.
Yeah, so Sanford wasn't even your first choice after Thomas went out. They went Fabry.
Yep.
And then the Sundqvist thing.
That was a key move. And then Vince Dunn, when he came in, had a really good game. Maybe less effective last night, but they benched Edmondson, who was really a liability. But I mean, I think Berube's pushed some right buttons in this series.
Yeah,
he's done a nice job.
It's funny, the Bruins are so worried about going down to 5D, but he's basically played 5D most of these games, and they've gotten by. I mean, Pietrangelo and Parayko have played huge minutes, and that's what you would hope that you could get from Carlo and McAvoy and Krug. You have three guys that could do that.
Yeah.
Instead, they're dressing 7D. They're shorthanding themselves forward-wise and worrying about Giordano's health and not getting and Brandon Carlo's minutes were down last night too. All of a sudden, that doesn't make any sense.
Camper, I guess.
And that maybe goes back to the original sin of this series to begin with. What is the deal with Carlo and Krug not playing against Tarasenko?
Right.
Why are we, you know, catering to Zdeno Chara, especially now in his current state, but even at the start of the series, to give him the marquee matchup, which hasn't worked? And now in his current state, is he really bringing you what you need, that it's worth doing all these other things to your lineup to just make sure you have him in there?
Yeah, and to me, now, the matchup that's more interesting, now, when they're in St. Louis, it appears that Berube wants his fourth line out there against Bergeron.
Right. Yep.
And he's gotten that, and they've been effective. Now, with Barbashev being out, maybe that changes. I don't know.
Maybe.
When the first lines have matched up, it's been kind of a wash. But it does not appear that Cassidy cares which defensive pair Bergeron is out against. And
right.
he's getting stuck with Parayko and Bomeister, who I know you don't respect that much, but he's played pretty well in the series.
Yeah, I mean,
Parayko surely has.
He's using his reach, at least, and he's
so
playing some
physical hockey.
Why
doesn't Cassidy care about that? Or is it too hard to get the top line away from defensive pairs?
I think if he's running, I think they've mostly been using like a five-man unit where it's just the five of them out
there.
So it's just too hard to do that. I mean, but that's why this is why I don't think the Bruins are going to win. I've counted them out before, especially this season. I picked Toronto.
Wait a minute. What happened? Everything's going to be all right after game three.
It was all right for one game.
Things have changed.
Oh, my God. But I've honestly never seen the Bruins play this poorly, top to bottom, in a playoff series. I mean, if Bergeron's not going, Krejci's usually going. We've seen this playoffs, how much the bottom six has carried them, even especially the fourth line. But geez, these guys can't. It's not just that they've got no points. It's the not. There's no chances. You're not making Binnington work. You hit the one post, but you haven't really had any bad bounces go your way. And the power play, like you said, they rely on it too much, and it's not effective now. The Blues
can't get set up.
They can't even get set up. And so this is what reason could you give for the Bruins to come out and win this game on Sunday? There's just no logical reason except to say, everything's going to be all right.
Yeah,
and that they're going to turn it around.
Matt Grizzlick is one.
Okay.
If Grizzlick comes back Sunday, they're a different team. Well, I don't think John Moore's played terribly, but he's just not the catalyst on the back
end. So you think they would take Moore out, I guess, because they want to go left and left?
I think Chara's going to play major minutes, and they're just going to go back to the original lineup. It's going to be Grizzlick 60, Grizzlick.
Yeah,
Clifton.
I mean, Cassidy was leaning. He wasn't committing to anything today because he said that maybe Chara, he doesn't know what Chara's condition is even. You come out of a game like that. He didn't play the last, I mean, obviously they were trying to score, so he didn't play. He might not have played anyway, but he didn't play the last basically 5 minutes of regulation.
How do you think he played when he did play?
He was okay, but that's just it. He was okay. You don't need okay right now. You need great. And you wonder if you're going to play.
Camford did blast one off the crossbar. It's got to be a little enticing to a team that needs some offense. So
yeah, I mean, that's why he got more time. I think he probably got more time in the second half than Clifton did, I think. I mean, they ended up being almost the same for the whole game. They won that Carolina game without Chara. There's a certain.
But that series was over.
The series was over, but there's just like, there's a confidence, and there's a way that you can, you know, if you really believe that McAvoy and Carlo have made the strides they made, you have to trust them more. And maybe McAvoy's banged up because he's not moving quite as well as he was earlier in the series even. But if Chara's game is physicality and defense and shot blocking, can he give you that in his current state? And how important is his leadership and inspiration that you can't say, all right, we'll have 12 forwards and we'll have, you know, Clifton and Camphor, we'll spot them in and we'll try to grind it out here. I don't know if this is helpful right now, especially if, now there's no offensive game from Char. He had a couple shots in that game, right? But if you're benching him for the last five, you're not expecting any points out of him, right?
Correct.
So you're completely just looking at this one-dimensional player who was maybe, you know, struggling to begin with coming into the series. You know, we can ask Wiggy all about that. And then you've put this mask on him and put him in a position where he can't necessarily hit people.
Yeah.
And he's had, I mean, I think that goal last night, the first one last night, and then the second goal in St. Louis, where Shen made that pass out of the corner. And it was the same three guys, too. Pastrnak, Bergeron, and Chara converged on him. No one hit him. No one made him pay the price for stopping with the puck in the corner. And so you wonder what else is bothering Chara before that even takes the puck in the face. I don't know if you're getting enough out of him to justify this lineup.
Well, I'm not going to totally disagree, but it would be a ballsy decision. I mean, for Cassidy to go into St. Louis where you know they're going to have at least an initial tough push. Their forecheck when it's on is tough, and you could see Camphor, Moore, Grizzlick, first game back. These guys getting into some trouble when you're back in.
I think, there's no way he's doing it now. I mean,
I just don't see it.
You're not going to play. If the captain can play, you're not going to bench your captain for an elimination game six. But I'm kind of second guessing, although I'm kind of first guessing because I made sure to tweet it before the game started last night because you don't want to write a column on game day and have it have like a 2-hour shelf life. So I just threw out the tweet that said, is this really worth the effort? And also the risk. I mean, if he needs to wear this thing on his face and he can't do certain things, and he can't see, and you know that this team is not going to shy away from taking shots out of him.
Well, he delivered a hit 30 seconds.
He absolutely did. He took a few, too. I mean, you know, it's hard. Like I think it was David Perron said after the game, it's hard to get up there, so we're not necessarily going to try to hit him up there, but... You know, accidents happen too. What if another puck hits that thing? How protective is that mask?
It's already broken. It's further broken.
I guess so.
It's his choice. I mean, I would say the bigger decision to me now is, okay, do you need a seventh defenseman to hedge your bets a little bit, as you say, or to provide offense late in games, which seems like a legitimate possible need. Like if you're now 2-1 again, you're going to want Char off the ice. So that's significant. But the consistency of rolling four lines, Backes has responded well sometimes when put in the lineup, and he's in St. Louis, and he's obviously got to be steaming hot after getting benched in Game 5. I mean, I don't know if you saw him up on the ninth floor, but that had to be a tough conversation between Cassidy and Backes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he didn't expect it, and I'm sure he's counting the minutes till he's out of here, but it's really a hard call because I was calling for Kuhlman game. I was calling for 12 and 6 and Kuhlman to be in for him. Whether you bring him back now, you really don't have a choice, I guess. You have to go in with the 12 guys.
Well, you could go Kuhlman.
You could, but...
I mean, that's another ballsy choice because he hasn't played in a while.
He hasn't played in a while. It's a rookie. You're going to throw him into an elimination game on the road. I mean, he played elimination games in the first couple of rounds. He was in at the end of the Toronto series, right?
I think so.
Yeah, because Backes didn't come back for Game 7. So he's had the experience now. And he's been practicing with the team like a normal player and taking some bag skates, but he's out there. Maybe if you're looking at the guy, I mean, he played Danton Heinen just 8 minutes. So maybe if you're just plugging Kuhlman into that and playing him 8 minutes, and maybe Heinen gets some more time. I mean, people are ripping on Heinen. I mean, the Heinen Johansson Coyle line's your best line. So and Heinen's a part of that. I mean, he doesn't necessarily do the flashy things, but he makes the line go with his responsibility and his puck distribution. He's a good passer, and. But maybe you just go to Backes for those 8 minutes and you spot guys in.
Coyle also got a little time on the top line. What did you make of that? Was it just necessity?
He was just trying to... the way Cassidy explained it today was, well, if Coyle's going well, maybe he goes up with them and he makes them go well. Johansson goes with Krejci and DeBrusk, maybe he gets them going. But I don't know if it really works that way. I think it's the other way. Like the two guys that were going poorly are going to bring down the one guy. I want Charlie Coyle to get more ice time and to do it in his natural position and be with Johansson, because that's part of the magic too, right? The two of them have clicked. I mean, how many more times can we write about this? And the scary thing to me is that he panicked with the lines. It was only 1-0, and they had outshot them 17-8 in the first period, and he said, well, we needed to get more finish. So he decides to, be a mad scientist.
Start tinkering.
That to me, that's – and also – I don't know how much you listened. I mean, you guys must have listened to the Cassidy post game this morning a lot.
Yes,
he sounded like he was getting choked up.
No. Well, St. Louis read the Cassidy as a whining. I didn't think so at all.
I thought he was getting choked up. And looking at his face, it looked like he was taking some big gulps. It's like, does he have his emotions in check? We know he gets to be pretty fiery on the bench. I just hope he's not. It goes back to the hand pass game and Berube obviously commanding the players not to talk about it.
Right.
And everybody's in there whining after the game last night.
So you think Cassidy was on edge last night?
I think he was on edge, absolutely. I think he was panicky about the lines. I think he was panicky about the call. And I think he kind of let it go off the track. I mean, you got 2 days to get back on track. Maybe that's what he was thinking. Like, we can get our arguments out and then come back and be refocused. But, it's going to keep coming up, too. I mean, they're not going to get stopped asking about it until the game starts on Sunday. So.
Well, they got to score. McAvoy had the 2-on-1 and decided to shoot it. He had Krejci coming on the left wing. I don't know what he didn't see, because he just didn't want to waste an opportunity.
Right.
Whatever he saw,
it'd be nice if he could ever hit the net.
Right.
That's the story of his life.
But to your point about getting traffic, they had the one play late where somebody knocked Binnington's stick out of his hands.
Yeah.
And Gunnarsson cleared it away after Moore's point shot, but there was nobody around.
There was a couple guys kind of on the outside of the slot, and they both got decked.
Right,
because basically the Blues are just hit the body first, go for the puck.
Right.
It's the Bruins, the whole series, have been the receivers of everything, whether it's the attack or the physicality. They're the counterpunchers. They're on the defensive. It's unbelievable to see a Bruins team playing that way.
You know what it feels like? I covered the 2013 Penguins Bruins series from the Pittsburgh side.
Right.
And it feels like that
right.
where Crosby and Malkin had some chances, yep. but for the most part,
yeah.
Chara and Seidenberg were so
and
good.
And what's like the defining like image of that? It's, you know, Crosby losing his
cool.
his mind over yeah. something Chara did to him.
Now, that was a sweep, and it was different. I mean, but,
right.
But
yeah, it was a lot of the same of it because, you know, except for the fact that Tuukka was great and Binnington
awesome.
Has not been great. But yeah, the obviously the physicality of the Bruins. You know, the Bruins had, whether they wanted to admit it or not, had something huge to play for in that series, the whole Aginla thing. You know they wanted yeah. to rub it in his face. That's another part. Maybe the Bruins just, for some reason, can't find the hate that they needed to find. I mean, the Blues clearly hate them.
Well, there's a
the
thought
Bruins.
About that this might wake them up, right? That this non-call, whatever it is, they had a game six where they played as good as we've seen them in the Toronto series, right? Went on the road.
Yep.
And played a classic game.
That's
six.
The thing, but it's like, and it's great. Maybe they'll win the cup. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but you kind of would have liked to see a team not have to be back against the wall to play the best game it could play.
Yeah, I feel much more pessimistic than I did in the Toronto series. I thought,
yeah,
Toronto's got a history of collapsing. The back pairing was a problem. It turned out to be Gardner and Dermott and some of those guys. I don't feel that way with this St. Louis team.
Right,
exactly. They are much more sound.
Yeah.
The Bruins will have to win this and win it difficult fashion in game six.
I'll own the fact that I thought the Bruins would lose that game six in Toronto, but I could still see ways or reasons that the Bruins would pull it off because of Toronto, like you said, their track record. This right now?
I'm hanging my hat on Grizzlick. That's all I got. That Grizzlick will be the magic that comes back and solidifies things. And it's a bit of a reach, I'll admit.
It really is because, I mean, if they even clear him, you wonder how much the doctors factor in what's going to happen in the game. You know, they're going to look at it and say, wow, you know, St. Louis is going to take some shots at you. Is it worth the risk? You hope that isn't the case, but it's going to be tough because a guy who's, even if you're cleared, and I've read this, it doesn't mean you're 100% able to move as quickly as, you know, the little twitch things in your brain.
Yeah.
Could be slower. His game is so much based on the quick puck movement, the quick reaction.
That's true.
Guy's bearing down on him, I don't know how good he'll even be.
That's why push comes to shove. I feel like whether he's back or it's just Chara, he's going to just stick with 7D. I think
yeah.
Backus, baby, just once you pulled the plug and you bench Backus, he's out. He's not going to trust Kuhlman. They're just going to go 7D and just hope they're a little bit better. And
try to get a bounce and win a 1-0 game or
yep.
something. It's
yep.
it's just, it seems like they're making it so much harder than they have to make it, I think.
Well, it seems to me like you're coming to the realization St. Louis is the better team.
They have the
put words in your mouth. But
they're not the most talented team. They're the better team. Absolutely. That's the way I would phrase it.
So if that's the case, and I've watched the series, and it's hard for me to sit here and say Braden Schenn, Jaden Schwartz, and even Tarasenko are better than Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak. But that's what the eyeball test tells you through these. You know, it's more than that. Obviously, it's matchups, it's defense, it's goaltending, it's coaching. But it's no longer a shame to lose to St. Louis in the Cup final, right? That was that.
Well,
when it's all said and done, would you look back on it then and say, "Hey, they lost to the better team. No problem."
No, because they're the better team in this series, but they're not the better team overall.
They've underperformed beyond
yeah.
your expectations and beyond almost you know.
Absolutely, I mean they should be leading this series, if not have won it. I mean, I said they would win in six. They're the better team. They were third overall in the National Hockey League.
But the Blues in the second half were as good as anybody.
They had the easier path. I'm not saying the easier path based on competition, but what they did. They took out Columbus in six and then swept. They had 10 days off to rest up for this series. They should have been full strength, ready to go. Everything's, you know, all systems are go. Our systems are down. We have the video. We have them read out. It definitely shouldn't have taken them that top line, you know, whereas they were starting so slow every round. It definitely shouldn't have happened this time, and now obviously it's gone past that.
Is there a recipe from the Tampa series last year that Berube drew on? Because we kept going back to that Braden Point outplayed the Bergeron line in the Tampa series last year. So somehow, have they bottled that up? You know, whether Victor Hedman and Parayko are like clones and they found a way to just, here's the recipe.
The bigger, stronger defenseman aspect of it is the same, but it's different, totally different styles, right? This team
yeah.
is physicality and a heavy forecheck. They're not even close to the top third teams in the league in terms of quickness and speed. But yeah, we said going in, we knew that it was going to be a different challenge to face Parayko and Boomhuis and their long sticks and their strength. We didn't realize how much the other defense pair, I mean, Carl Gunnarsson's come out of nowhere and played pretty well. And
yep.
You know, Pietrangelo's obviously doing great, and just the fact that all the lines, you know, again, if the Bergeron line didn't score any points, but they were keeping the Shen line off the board, and other lines were scoring, we wouldn't be sitting here probably talking about them leading.
Right.
The other lines are getting out muscled and just beat up. They're not winning any battles whatsoever on the boards or in front of the net.
Which, I mean, is just kind of an indication that they're not the better team. I know what you're saying. It's
right.
Like they're underperforming based on what we expected, but this is the reality.
Because they've done it before. I mean, you could say Columbus was a mini version of St. Louis.
Yeah. Yep.
So they did it. You know, they down 2-1 in that series, and they regrouped, and they figured it out. They got the strategies down. They won the battles, and you know the physicality in that series. You can't say that I wasn't almost as physical as this series. Their goalie.
This team
was
better.
Supposed to be the best in the world.
O'Reilly is better than what they faced in that series, and Tarasenko has been more effective than Panarin was. Well, they totally erased Panarin. Tarasenko has not been erased.
We can go back to the matchup on that one, right?
You're right.
I mean,
you're right.
It was Grand Carlo. He ate him, chewed him up, and spit him out. And we went to the Chara McAvoy versus Tarasenko thing.
It is strange.
And when it wasn't going right in first game, instead of saying, okay, we need a different defense pair with Bergeron, he went with a different forward line with the Chara pair. And again, the Krug Carlo pair doesn't just play great defense was playing great defense. They're good at getting the puck up to their forwards. So if you want to get Bergeron, Marchand, and Parson not going and maybe even get something off the rush, which it's hard to do, but you have to at least get them going, and Chara and McAvoy aren't going to do that.
Well, to summarize, we got a big game 6, 8 p.m. Sunday. Neither you nor I feel that great about it, but just based on the entertainment level of a game 7 in a cup final, I'm going to predict Grizzly comes back and they win a 2-1 game. They get that done. They win that 2-1 game. You're going to be there to see it. And then you got 4 more days of content, my friend. You'll come home. We'll have a beautiful game 7 on Wednesday night. That will be fun, well, no matter how it ends.
From your mouth to Gary Bettman's ears or something.
Yeah.
Whoever's pulling the strings here.
Exactly. What, you got a prediction?
Blues 2, Bruins 1 again.
Ooh,
another grinder.
Oh, and you're going to be there to see the
I've seen a lot of...
Forget about who gets the cup second here. It's going to be who does Pietrangelo hand it off to.
I can't wait for all the creative Blues followers on Twitter to tell me who gets the puck, who gets the cup second after Pietrangelo, right?
We're both going to get bludgeoned by that. Who does get it second? Ryan O'Reilly? Bennington?
Who wears the
Tarasenko?
Letters? I mean, you know Boomeister's in there somewhere. Bennington's in there. I don't know who wears the letters. That's to him. Right?
It is a little embarrassing, though. You lose to this team, and you're going to be like, you lost to David Perron?
It really is.
Zach Sanford?
You lost to
the worst power play that's ever been assembled in a cup final. They can't score on the power play.
You get this far, you think you have a successful season, but everything has been... the window's not closing. This team could get back, but it's going to be harder. This is your time. You didn't take advantage of it. That's the worst part. If they went down every game 3-2 overtime, like game 2, you'd say, well, at least they gave a good fight and they just didn't get the bounces. I don't want to hear about bounces anymore. They're not making the bounces.
Well, you
have to
go back
at the net.
Officiating, though. But you know game 5, we can talk educatedly on it now.
Yeah.
Most people, that's going to be the takeaway. They got hosed in game 5.
That
decided the series. It's more nuanced than that.
About resiliency and adversity and all the stuff that they spew at us all year long, you got to overcome that. You got to push back. You got to make the Blues pay, and they don't. I mean, do you think there's one Blues guy that's hurt from this series?
It's
Tarasenko clearly banged up. He had some maintenance days.
Yeah, maybe after.
I mean, Thomas
low bridged him.
I guess Thomas was nursing something like a wrist injury before this series, so it might not even have anything to do with the Krug hit. I mean, has anyone paid the price on the Blues side?
No, and these 2 days off actually are going to help them in that case, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's helped them more than the Bruins every time.
All right, Matty, we will check in with you Sunday skate 9:30 from the airport. So if you have any revelations between now and
9:30, you're off the air, aren't you?
8:30.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, well,
yeah, we're on 7-9. You're
7-9.
On 8:30.
Yeah, I'll try to call you 8:30 before I get on the plane.
By then, right?
Yeah, sure.
Perfect. Blackburn and I will spew some fire. We're going to try to be cranky in your absence. And then... Wrap-up show a week from Sunday, we think, will be our final Sunday skate. Win or lose, we'll see how that goes. But regardless, we're going to keep this going.
They could throw us an hour at least, right?
I would think so. And maybe more of these in the offseason. We're going to have it will be an interesting summer no matter what happens.
Oh, it's going to be a very interesting summer, and especially if they lose. And I always say it's more interesting when they lose. So kill me. Shoot me.